Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm not Tom, but you'll have to settle for me. This is Rocky, and Tom won't be on tonight because he's hosting a big doings for all the veterans out there, and thank you all for your service. Okay, to start with, today I got a bunch of emails, which I'm not used to. From an old boy named Daryl. I don't know where he's from or anything, but if he's listening, I got some answers for you, for your questions. First question is how long I've been with Searching for Bigfoot. Well, I've been with them 14 years now. Great people. I just can't say enough about the Bigfoot family. Okay, second question. How long have you hunted? Well, I can't actually say for sure how long I've hunted because my dad had only turned me loose with a BB gun for a while, but back in 1957, When I was 5 years old, he gave me my first 22. So it's been 63 years since I started hunting, and I want everybody to know that I grew up hunting, and I've hunted hard. It's my thing to do. Anybody that doesn't do it don't understand it, but it's not all about the killing. It's about the hunting. It's about being in the woods. It's about bringing home the bacon. Okay, the next question was, how about the Swede? How long has he been hunting? Well, best thing I can do is just ask him. Hey, Swede.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Did you hear my question?
I did hear the question. I was trying to think about the mathematics on that. I guess it'd be I would say that I guess I've been hunting since I was probably around 8 or so. I think is when the first time I went out there. So, 10 years. How about if I did
about 52 years? You've been hunting about 52 years. You know, me and your wife figured it up. And you know, me and the Swedes have been hunting together. All together, we've been hunting together for 36 years. Daryl here wants to know how we met. Well, one day I was out squirrel hunting, carrying little old Marlin 22 lever action rifle. I was walking off down the hill, and I met an old boy coming up the hill, going in the opposite direction of me, and he was packing a Marlin 39A lever action 22 rifle. Well, we stopped and we got to talking, and anyhow, come to find out, we'd been going eating breakfast at the same restaurant for about 10 years, but he always left about 10 minutes before I got there. So we met the next day at the restaurant. We went and ate, and then we went and we got our limit of squirrels, and we've been hunting together ever since. We figured it up one day, and we've got 115 years combined hunting time behind us, and it's been good. It's been good. We've hunted hogs and deers, and yes, we've hunted everything that they'll let us hunt. A few things that they were not supposed to, probably. But yeah, we've been hunting together for 36 years.
I cannot confirm or deny that.
Do I?
I can't confirm or deny that.
All right. Then
you know what?
He came up with
about all the. We've raised all the kids on Wild Game.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I never seen a boy eat as many squirrels as my boy could eat more rabbits than a full grown bear. Then this next question he sent me, it said, when and why did you wrestle a bear? Well, okay. Let me see. I wrestled a bear in, what was it,
1985.
Yeah, I got stomped through the mat, but I still won the money. But and why did I do it? Well, it's one of those things. My big brother went and signed me up. And I think he's always wanted to get me killed. He signed me up to fight the bear. He signed me up to fight an alligator. But they wouldn't let me. He got mad because they wouldn't let he said that I wouldn't let them tape my mouth shut, so it wouldn't be fair to the alligator to tape its mouth shut. And so, anyhow, I love you, Jimmy. anyhow, there's no good reason why I wrestled there. It came up, and I said to myself, well, this probably won't ever happen again, so what the heck, let's just do it. Okay. I got a email from a woman named Angela, who apparently likes to walk in the woods. And she asked me, what is the important items you carry when you go to the woods? Well, the most important thing you can have in the woods, according to my buddy Doyle, is knowledge. And the second thing is my backpack, because I've got everything in my backpack that I'm going to need to get me through an emergency. Me and the Swede, when we go to the woods, we take all the necessities with us without, you know, loading the backpack down to where we have to fight with it. But, you know, we'll have guns and knives and ammo, first aid kit, emergency tent and blanket, life straw, something so we can drink the water out there. Proof matches, Bic lighters, some fire starting tenders, MREs, and, you know, a lot of people say that the MRE is just really horrible. Well, they're pretty horrible, but not in an emergency. I mean, not even worse. Our friend Francisco, Big Frank, he knows that I'll eat grub worms. I don't care. But me and the Swede don't turn it down because it doesn't exactly, it's not gourmet food. But, and then we had a guy named Paul send an email in. And what he wants to know is, how do you deal with the frustration when you go hunting for Bigfoot and come back empty-handed? Well, what do you think, Swede? How do we deal with frustration?
Well, you just got to look at it as, you know, you have to have a reality check. You're not going to see something or find something every time you go out. And when you do finally find something and it pops up in there, it's a wonderful thing. Then you do get to see it. But the whole deal about it is that fortunately, like myself and you, we go and have a good time, and we're always, now that the Bigfoot thing, it's not, you know, like we talked about before, it's never been a phenomenon for the hunting for the Bigfoot thing. Has been a fairly recent event in our life, but we always looked for everything else while we was out and about doing our thing. And then the Bigfoot's just another thing on the list to look for, and when the opportunity arises, we try to monopolize on that opportunity. But you can't let it get you down, because you just can't, you know, you're not going to see something every time you go out. I don't let it get me down, because I'm looking forward to the next trip.
Yeah, I don't understand what is frustrating. I mean, I've been out deer hunting and come back empty. I've been out rabbit hunting and never saw a rabbit. But, you know, what can you say? Sometimes it happens, sometimes it don't.
Enjoy the event, because, you know, what happens at the event, you never know. But you got to enjoy the event. Don't let it get you down. Just keep going.
Yep.
And everything will be all right.
Yeah. Don't get frustrated. Just get ready to go out the next time.
That's right. That's what all I can say.
Well,
I'm sure everybody
as,
else in the family will agree with that.
Well, Paul, Angela, and Daryl, I hope that answered some of your questions. If not, I mean, somehow y'all got my email address. Might as well email me again. We'll talk it out. And so that being said, I think it's about time for us to bring on Leo. Are you there, Leo? Well, he's on the other line. Hey,
Leo. Hey, Rocky, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hello.
All right, I'm going to bring on Big on Yowie Dan. Everybody, hold on,
folks. We got a treat
Hello.
For you tonight. We got a treat for you tonight, folks. We got our good friend Yowie Dan, all the way across from the big city of Australia. My good friend and brother, Bigfoot brother from another mother. Hello, Yowie. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Leo. How you going? It's great to be back on the show.
Hey, we doing good, mate. Hey, man, look, it's been a while since we talked to you. We know you had a couple of expeditions out there that you went on, and you got some new equipment, and you got a couple of things going on. Let's start off by telling us what's new, you know, as far as the equipment, and we'll dive right into what you got going on far as the your personal encounters.
Well, just recently, within the last 6 months, I bought a new parabolic dish, and I did get it from the States, so it was COVID was really bad, even over here, so it took maybe 2 months to get to me, but it's really changed the way in how I get sounds and get them recorded. Like, I can pick up a lot more and a lot clearer than what I was getting with my smaller parabolic. And then just in the last week, I've picked up a monocular thermal, and it can see the human form at 1,400 meters away, but you can pretty much film it clear at 700 meters away. So if you're walking at the other side of the park and it's 700 meters away, I can film you pretty clear with this thermal monocular, which is going to be really good for me to see what's around me while I'm out in the bush researching the owie.
Good, good. And you know, that's the key thing, folks. You got to have good equipment when you're out there looking for these creatures, because these creatures are very elusive, and they're going to play the cat-and-mouse game with you all night long. But let me ask you this, Yowie. While you was out around the walkabout, I know you sent me some pictures, and you also sent me some audio, we tried to get that to play. We have a little technical difficulty on that. Tell us a little bit about the about the audio that you sent us, because I'm going to tell you, it was pretty fascinating when I listened to it, because it sounded like another animal from somewhere that, you know, unknown. It didn't sound like anything that we've heard in the woods, and I know that Rocky and Sweet could attest to what they've heard in the bush. So tell us a little bit about the audio that you sent us.
Well, the audio, I did record it in 2017. I was told by a fellow researcher and a couple of other people that are researching the Yowie about an area just north of Sydney. The Hawkesbury River is about 60 kilometres north of Sydney. And as it runs in to the mainland, it spreads off into different estuaries and creeks. And one of the creeks is called Marramarra Creek. And Marramarra in Aboriginal language is the land of fish. So there's plenty of food sources for anything to live there if they can catch a fish. So anyway, we went down there because one of my fellow researchers said he had a big rock thrown at him from the bushland where no one can get to, and it landed near their boat, which they were fishing near the side of the creek there. So we thought, oh, we'll go to a campground that's nearby and hopefully we can record something. There might be something around there. So we hiked in. It takes about 2.5 hours to hike into this area, and we set up our campsite and, you know, looked around the area and set all our gear up for the night time. Anyway, that first night that I went there, we had a lot of sounds and a lot of recordings of wood knocks. So we had a lot of, you know, stuff that we got to say we can come back again. So 2 weeks later, we went back. So that was the end of the June that we went in 2017, and then the second week in July 2017, we went back. It was very, very quiet. It was different to the first time that we went there because there was no noises, no frogs, no crickets, no nothing making noise. It was really quiet. I had my wife and a fellow researcher there, and another couple happened to camp about 100 metres away from me. So we went there and we were just listening with a parabolic dish and looking at our, yeah, we had like a night vision cameras, but very cheap ones, but they still did a good job. Anyway, it was about 11:15 at night, and I'm pretty much thinking there's nothing going to happen. I might just lay down for a bit. And as soon as I put my hand on the zipper of the tent to open it up, this, whatever it was, we just suspect it being the Yowie because it doesn't sound like a dog or a dingo or a wild dog or a person or any animal that we know, started howling. And it was howling after a while. We thought, this animal is howling to try and find others of its kind. It wasn't just a howl, it was like it was in pain or anything. It was calling out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we recorded on the parabolic dish, and for about 35 to 40 minutes on and off, it howled up and down. You know, it was like, whoa, and kept doing that. But the recording that we got doesn't really do justice of how loud these howls were. They were extremely loud. And one thing that I did point out to people is when you get a canine and they express all the air out of their lungs, their howl kind of wavers at the end. You know, it doesn't stay strong all the way through. Where this howl, it had the capacity of this animal expelled its lungs, and it was that strong. The howl was strong from the start to the finish. So that's what really stood out for us. Like, gee, what could be making this howl and keeping it so loud over a long period of time? So we were just, you know, sitting there with our parabolic dishes and with our faces. We had the biggest smile on our faces because we're like, we've never heard this before in our life. That was a very, very interesting night for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me this. With the sound of this unknown creature, with the howl that he bellowed out throughout the bush where you were, how far apart or distance you think you were from this creature as in contrast to his howl? Do you think he was close or he was getting in close, or how far you think he was?
It's within 200 metres easy.
Oh, man, that's close.
Yeah, because where we're camped, the campground, there's a tidal creek there. And then it was in winter time for us. It was June, July, winter time. It was very cold. You could see, you know, when you breathe out, you can see the mist come out of your mouth. And so it was on the other side of the creek, but a little bit up the ridge. And there's no way of getting into that area from there. There's no track trails there. The only trail is from our side. But then after that 40 minutes, it went through the creek about chest height in freezing cold waters. I went through there the next day to pick up my sound recorder I left on the other side of the creek, and my toes were frozen. I had to leave them in front of the fire to pull them out. It was freezing. But it came across the creek, and the other couple eventually, they got out of their tent and started a fire because they were scared because of the noise. And we both shone our torches into the same area because we could hear it running through the bush. And the next day, when we decided to leave, we were seeing these like big muddy kind of footprints on the grass that had been pushed down when it walked through the tidal creek and then through the grass.
Well, let me ask you this, Yowie, and this is something I know is probably in the curiosity of a lot of people out there listening to the show. You know, here in the U.S., we have the Native Americans who, for many years, have spoken on these creatures. In the area where you had your encounter, is it inhabited by the Aborigines, or is that a different part of Australia? And if it is inhabited by the Aborigines, have you ever made contact with anybody from a particular tribe or anything, and they give you information on these creatures and what they know?
I personally haven't talked to any Aboriginal elders or anything about the Yowie, but in this particular place, there are still rock paintings and stuff and different carvings from Aboriginals that did live in the area, you know, way back in time. But there's no Aboriginals living in that area now. But, yeah, it was a very, you know, a place where a lot of Aboriginals did live at one time.
Good, good, good. And you know, the thing about that is when you start talking about who's inhabiting these areas, and that's to say that you know, these people probably had contact with these creatures for millions and millions, I mean, many, many moons. And, you know,
yeah.
for the millions of hours that we put in with looking for these creatures and trying to track these creatures down, you look back at, you know, they've had contact with these creatures all along. So, you know, that's something that's very, very interesting. Have you truly, or have you at all, anybody on your expedition seen these hieroglyphics or these paintings on the side of the cave walls, anything that you've seen that was very distinctive in reference to the Yowie?
Look, there is some carvings and paintings, but they are, I think some of them are up in the northern area of Australia. It quite possibly is, but a lot of Aboriginal paintings, when they're found, the national parks that runs most of the parks here, they won't tell anyone that's there in case people go and, you know, graffiti them or do some sort of damage to them. So, you know, unless you happen to come across them, there isn't anything there. But saying that, if when you go to Botany Bay, which is just south of Sydney there, that's where Captain Cook landed, there is a lot of carvings there and of in the rocks of different animals like kangaroos and emus, etc., that the Aboriginals did. They carved them into the sandstone there.
You know, that's interesting. Swede, you got any questions, man? I know you're probably, your wheels are turning and smoke is coming out.
Well, I guess I was interested, which I always ask this question. What about a smell, Ben? Did you smell anything? Is it, you know, usually we have any kind of contact whatsoever, there's always, I always ask the question, from anybody that's had any contact, if there was any smell. A lot of people kind of overlook it and don't think about it because it's just such a, you know, an exciting event that they don't catch it until later and they think about it. Did you smell anything or anything like that? Or do you think that the Yowie even has that kind of a situation in the, with the environment in Australia? Maybe it's too dry. Maybe it's not, they don't get so, monkey kind of thing like they do here because of the weather and the humidity and whatnot. I don't know. I'm just asking.
On that particular night, we didn't smell anything. It still was, when it crossed the creek, it was still pretty far away from us. But we were standing near a fire and the smoke from the fire pretty much just drowned out anything if we did get a chance to smell it. And we didn't really move. We just kind of stayed still so we could keep recording this animal. But I had smelt something when I was down in the Blue Mountains, and it was like a what could I say? I've never smelled a skunk, but it was really bad, rotten smell. Smelled a bit like electrical cord getting burnt. It smelled like a number of different smells put together, and they were all bad, and you just didn't want to be near it. And this, whatever it was, to me, I thought it was something following me. And then when I didn't get that feeling that I was getting watched anymore, that smell just disappeared. But, yeah, there is a count here of people smelling them when they have had encounters.
Well, I was just wondering. I didn't know if that was kind of a universal thing. Dan, in the United States, the biggest description is a wet dog. That's what, you know, like a wet dog. Smells,
like a wet dog. Dirty, been rolling on something dead.
Yeah, it's been rolling on something. You know, you just kind of have this kind of a funky, you know, just a funky smell. But yeah, I was just curious about that.
Doyle? We got Doyle out there.
Yeah, I'm here, guys. What's going on?
Hey,
what's
Doyle.
You got any
Doyle?
Questions?
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious, you know. And the smell, like Swede said, you know, did you smell something? I know that me and you were in Arkansas on the dirt road to Dutton one night. We heard all kinds of stuff that we recorded and put on the website that was unexplainable, but we still didn't get that smell. But from where the noises were coming from and the crashes in the bushes and everything, it was a long distance from us, Rock. But
well,
I will tell you this much.
After I got bit by the tick, I mean, I just can't smell anymore. So it's not uncommon for me not to be able to smell it. But that's why I have the Swede with me. He's a bloodhound.
Yeah.
Swede's
hey,
a dude now, I'll tell you.
Hey, Yowie, I got a
He's
question
a
for
dude.
You.
Yeah.
The one recording that you sent us with the tree breaking, have elaborate on that. Tell us a little bit about that. I think how close was he to you on that particular expedition?
Pretty much right across that creek. We were just sitting down. There's like where the campsite is. There's like a little, looks like a little beach area just where the sand is where it's built up, and we were just sitting there in these little chairs, and we had the parabolics out, and it was pretty much 25 meters away across the creek, ripping apart a tree. We've heard wood knocks there. Other than the howl, I haven't heard any vocalizations, but I went back to the Marimara about 2 months ago with Kurt, who was the other guy there when the howls happened. And we've been talking a lot, so we wanted to go back. And I used a parabolic dish, and I picked up something that had just walked through, like a freshwater creek, runs into this tidal creek, and something could walk through the creek, and you can actually hear the droplets falling off the creature going back into the creek. And then we're hearing rocks getting thrown in the water. And this fish do go in that creek, but they're not that big to make a big splash sound like that. So it sounded just like big boulders getting chucked in the water. And then we did hear another wood knock. And then after a certain amount of time, this is the first time it's ever happened to me, and I'm looking down the trail going towards the campground, because we didn't camp there. We camped at another campground, and said we'll sneak up and we'll try and just maybe 100 meters from the campground and see if we can sneak in and get some action. And it just kept on happening for about 40 minutes. And then I seen this red eye shine, and you can hear me say on the sound recording, I can see red eye shine. It just blinked for about 2 or 3 seconds. I saw this red eye shine, and then it went away. And soon after I said that, you can hear something running through the bush, and then you hear some of the bush and some of the sticks getting thrown in the creek right across from us, which would have been 5 or 6 meters away. And then it ran over to the main tidal creek and threw a big rock in the water. And that was right after I said I'd seen some ice shine. So we were pretty much like, what the hell is this? Like, we were really, like, a bit on edge at that time. We didn't know if we were going to get attacked or... So we just kind of, after 5 minutes after that, we kind of packed our gear up and got out of there. It just seemed like whatever creature was there was a bit angry and it didn't want us around.
Now, have you ever had any close encounters where he possibly was trying to attack or anything of that nature?
The only time I felt like I was in a bit of bother, I was with two other people and we were searching an area that had a numerous amount of sightings and encounters. And, there was about six of us, and we split up into groups of three. And with my wife and another fellow researcher, and we went walking down this trail, and then they circled us for about 5 minutes. And then when we thought it was safe to get out of there, we all kind of ran out back to where the other three people were up the top of the ridge, and told them what was going on. But at that stage, we didn't have a thermal. If I had a thermal now, it would be a different story. We would have been able to film them.
Okay, hey, this is Doyle back in Kentucky again. Can I interrupt for just a second? I want to explain something to you guys. My son,
you sure can.
James, is an aerospace engineer. And he, because of my Bigfoot hunting, has gotten a hold of an airborne drone that has infrared capabilities. This is something, guys, that you can pick up for around $300. And it works. And I can't wait to get back out in the woods and start using this thing.
Okay, go ahead. The only problem with that is that most national forests, they don't allow drones. That's a problem that I didn't realize until Tommy and Big Frank and T3 and me were at Lake Dead, and we were flying the drone over Lake Dead, and well, it lost power and crashed. But I was laughing about it a couple of days later at the restaurant. We had a guy from the Fish and Game Commission that comes in, that used to come in there all the time, and I told him what happened, and he said, "Well," he said, "let me tell you," he said, "they can really find the crap out of you if they catch you." Now this is in Arkansas for sure. It's not legal.
Well,
to
I'm
you
not.
To,
I'm not going to go looking for Bigfoot in a national forest. I'm going to go up here in the Appalachian Mountains and look.
Well,
I think it's a good tool. I think it's something you can use. And it's amazing.
I think it'd be fantastic.
Piece of equipment.
Hey, Rob, Grandfather Ray.
Bring
Father Ray. I'm sure he's got a question.
Hey, Father Ray.
Hey. Hello. How are you? Can you hear me?
Well, I'm good. I don't know about these other guys, but I'm just good.
Welcome, Father Ray.
Hello, everyone in Bigfoot Land.
How you doing, sir? Hey, Father Ray, I know you probably got a question to Yahweh Dan.
Well, I was curious when he spoke about the petroglyphs left by the Aborigines. We have here in New Mexico, it's an archaeological playground, and we have petroglyphs all over the place. There's Petroglyphs National Park on the west side of Albuquerque. There are petroglyphs down in near Tucson, Arizona. That sparked my interest. I just wondered if your Aborigine people and our Aborigines, doubtless they made pictures on the rocks to show what was going on, what was life like in their time. These petroglyphs probably go back maybe 800 years or so, and but interesting. Bigfoot didn't see any Bigfoot in any petroglyphs that I've seen.
What do you think,
Gary? Like you were saying, the carvings here of what animals are around, and then yeah, do get a couple of carvings where it tells other Aboriginals that are coming to the area, there's water close by. They do have things like that. So, they're very interesting to read about and find out what exactly these things mean. But, the one that I know that is a painting of one, it's like a rock painting, and I think it's up in the Northern Territory, which is a state up the top of Australia. That's the only one I know of. There's a lot of rock paintings all around Australia, like you were saying, that was in down with where you guys are.
And they ask you don't deface them. It's you can get a fine if you deface them.
Same thing here.
Yeah, you going straight past going that way? You going to jail, Father Ray? Straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Straight to jail.
We've got the same thing. We've got petroglyphs a little to the south of us, when me and the Swede made our big 225-mile walk, when we were coming out, we hit a trail that has petroglyphs on the side of the bluff, and you know it's same thing. You know, you touch them, you know they'll hunt you down and fry you. They take a dim view of defacing them, but of course, didn't do me any good to see them because you know they didn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was cool, but yes. I saw nothing that would make me think that they were doing a Bigfoot thing, showing a Bigfoot thing. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, man, let's go to a commercial and everybody catch their breath and collect their thoughts, and then we'll go at it again.
Okay.
And here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that? He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Everybody, we're back.
We're back.
While we're at it, want everybody to remember to check out TubiTV.com and watch Brutal Bigfoot for free. It's got Tom and it's got everything. Just y'all need to check it out. It won't cost you a penny.
Great movie, folks. Great movie. Go to TubicTV.com and watch it for free. I got to echo what he said. It is a good movie.
Before we go any further, I just got another email from Angela. She said, why do you feel it necessary to carry guns in the woods? I don't have a problem with guns. Just wondering if you knew something that I should know. Yes, Angela, something that you should know is down here where we are, we've got bears. We've got wild hogs. Yowie Dan knows about wild hogs. We do carry firearms for, if not for our protection, just so we don't have to eat MREs. I almost always have my little 22 pistol, and it feeds us.
Hey, Doe, what did you say? You didn't say steak and cheese. You said snake and cheese, correct?
That's it. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, Yowie, what do you got coming up?
We were filming a video down in Texas, and they made me eat a snake for one of the videos.
Oh, hell no.
I was like, man, oh, that was nasty.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. Hey, Yowie, let me ask you a question. You got any expeditions coming up? Anything you got going
coming up
closer?
Yeah, I'm actually going back to Marimara on Saturday. So in 2 days' time, I'm spending a night there. And actually, if you guys, I can play the howl that I recorded to you that night, and you guys can listen to it. I've got a little speaker here, so hopefully it comes out pretty well. But, yeah, I'm hoping to get something like that again with my new parabolic. So I'll play it now and see what you guys think.
Okay.
Hopefully it plays well. Just give me a second. It's starting up. I'll just do it again. I just got to turn it up.
Oh, that was clear. That's clear. That is clear. What do you think, Rock?
I think, Swede, you remember when we sit there in Dutton and heard that on the southwest side of us and the northeast side of us?
Mm-hmm.
Does that not sound the same?
Very similar. I was thinking the same thing because we really didn't have a
clue. We sit there and we heard one that was way down in the bottoms. Doyle, you know where I'm talking about, where Bigfoot Billy was. Okay, one was sounding off from. Something was sounding off from down there, and then there was it had a real deep, gruff kind of sound to it, and then up above us and to the west, we heard it again, heard like an answer, but it was not nearly as deep and not and you know that's why we were laughing about it, saying that the big boy down there is looking for her up top, but you know we was going to try to find her first. But it was extremely similar.
What do you think, Dole?
I think we must have lost him. Wait, there he is.
This is going to be a bit
back
louder. I'm going to play it again.
Hey,
it's going to be a bit louder. This is a bit of an enhanced one.
Okay, you please.
Yeah, talk to me, Rocky. I dropped you there.
Did you hear that?
Dole, what do you think about Yowie Dan's vocalization that he got?
Oh. I'm going to Australia is what I'm thinking. I've always wanted to go to Australia. Only thing is they won't let our guns in there. They're anti-gun in Australia.
Yeah, we can't go around with guns.
Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to ask you, Yowie. What do y'all use for protection when y'all out there? Because I know y'all encounter some other things other than the Yowie itself. I know y'all run into a lot of other animals and things of that nature. What do y'all use to carry for protection?
Some people have got licenses and they can go out shooting, but if you just go normal camping, you can't have a gun with you at all. There's virtually no guns out here. The only people that have guns are farmers, and then you've got recreational shooters, but the guns have to be locked up at the actual place that they're shooting range. Unless they can get you, and you can get special permission to go shooting, but has to be on someone's private property. There's a lot of laws that came in maybe 20 years ago where the guns was like a gun amnesty and people handed their guns in and they got paid money. So very rarely do you hear any shootings over here in Australia other than a few gangs maybe fighting and they've got guns somehow. But, when I go out, pretty much haven't got anything that's a weapon, but people here tend to use big air horns, little air horns. So I've dogs come nearby, you can blow them and it hurts their ears, so they run away. And you just don't hope you don't run into a big pig, a big boar, because yeah, they could tear you apart. So unfortunately, yeah, we're not allowed to have guns here in Australia like you guys.
Hey, I'm sorry, I'm not using an air horn versus a wild boar.
No,
that
ain't
no work out for me.
That ain't no
work
44 Magnum makes more noise, doesn't it, Doyle?
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, that's why I'm not an international traveler. I want to go on a boat cruise.
Hey, Rocky, what do you think air horn is going to do with a 900-pound Yowie?
Well, the truth is, I will never find out because I'm not going to carry an air horn as long as I got that 44 Magnum in there or my 10 millimeter or something like that. A good old slug shotgun.
Hey, Rocky, I may as well go to McDonald's and get me a bucket of straws and shoot spitballs at them. I can't deal with
that. No, the straw, you can't have a plastic straw, and the paper straws, they get wet and droop.
The main thing in Australia we're worried about is the snakes. That's the big problem is the snakes, and it's summertime here.
That's why I said snakes earlier, because I know snakes in Australia are horrible.
Yowie,
they're deadly.
I was watching the History Channel the other day, and the guy was in Australia, and he said that everything out there will cut you, bite you, poison you. He said everything in the country wants you dead. Are you telling me that the History Channel's telling me stories?
No, there's a lot. You got snakes, and then you got the funnel web spider, which is the most dangerous spider in the world. And then there's two types of funnel webs. You got the Sydney funnel web and the Blue Mountain funnel web. They're two different types.
How big do the spiders get?
That's what they were talking about, the spiders and the snakes and the wild hogs and dingoes and.
The funnel web spider is not a huge spider, but it still gets quite large. But it packs a punch. It bites you. If you ever look at a funnel web spider, it rears up and it's got two massive fangs on it. And if it digs it into you, you got to get to hospital real quick, or you're in major trouble.
Wow.
Haven't heard of anyone dying from a funnel web spider bite for a long, long time. But they do, like my sister lives up north of Sydney, and they do fall out of the gum trees, and they live in the, like, they can live underwater for a couple of hours. So you never touch them. There's always a chance of them being alive, even though they might be underwater for 2 hours. Yeah, so they're pretty bad. But you've got ticks as well. Marimara, when I went through the fern area there, we all got ticks. So I've got to watch out for them. The boars in the national parks aren't a problem. You go more into the bush, right into the middle of Australia, you've got more of a problem there. Just the snakes and spiders are the big problem. But I have seen spiders as big as my whole hand. There's massive spiders out there, but they're not all dangerous. They just look scary.
Y'all have the King Brown and the Boom Sling, right?
Yeah, the Brown Snake is like the one that everyone's scared of. Yeah, he's the major... he's the one, number one. Yeah, that's in New South Wales. You go to Queensland, you got the inland taipan, or it's called the fear snake, and that's the most dangerous snake in the world. It can kill like 10,000 mice with one drop or something. Yeah, really bad.
Well,
any snake I see is a dead snake. If it's a black snake, green snake, I cannot stand snakes.
Hey, I'm with you, dog.
Don't like them at all. No, we've got a use for, like, the black snake in Kentucky will eat and devour a copperhead or a rattlesnake. But
well, I will,
can't
too.
Stand the idea of having a black snake in my backyard. I can't.
Well, I tell you this. Two things we're going to take with us to Australia. One is a suit of armor and Father Ray. We're going to need plenty of prayers.
We're going to need all the prayers Father Ray can send up, buddy. Hey, let me tell you something. Love Father Ray. Love Father Ray. We're taking Father Ray anywhere with us we go.
Rocky, we're coming down in 3 minutes. First of all, I want to take the time to thank Yahweh Dan for being on the show. We're going to have him back on the show. Hopefully, after this week, Yahweh, you are going to have some luck, some video, some vocalizations, more vocalizations than anything that you can get to us. And we're going to have you back on the show. Just let me know when you're done with your expedition. We'll go ahead and schedule you back on here. And, Rocky, I'm going to yield to you for the last part of the of the show, and go ahead, my brother.
Well, I want everybody to remember the Bigfoot store. All kinds of good stuff, you know, hats and shirts, and just floor mats, coffee cups, just all kinds of Bigfoot stuff. And remember the Tubi TV, Brutal Bigfoot. Got to watch it. You know, I thank everybody for being on. And before we get off, I'm going to say this. Hey, Swede, let's go look at the petroglyphs down under the hill.
Yeah. The overhang.
We need to go check them out again.
We'll go do that. I wanted to thank Yahweh Dan. It was very interesting. I really enjoyed listening to your thing, and I hope that wish you the best of luck out there with the brown snakes and all the biting critters. Be careful.
Thank you. Yeah, we've always got our eyes out, and we've got some gear here, like snake gaiters we use, so hopefully we don't get bitten. So thanks for having me on again once again, boys, and I'll send along anything that I find in my next trip out, if something comes along.
Awesome.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate you being on. I don't know what time it is there, but
it's 3:00 in the afternoon. Thursday.
You're kidding? Okay. Well. Okay. So we're not keeping you up, are we?
No, I got all day.
All right.
Yeah, but it's 3:00 in the afternoon tomorrow.
Okay, well, everybody, thanks for coming on, and thanks for listening to the craziness and everything. And I want to thank, Daryl and Paul and Angela for the emails. If you got any more questions, just, you know, you got my email address, just call me. And anyhow, Father Ray, thank you. Doyle, Yowie.
I'm here.
Is that what I call you? Yowie? Do I call you Yowie or Dan?
Yowie Dan. Put it together.
Okay. I can do that. Okay. Well, thank everybody for coming on. And we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9:00 my time. And
10:00.
That woman keeps talking in my ear.
10:00 East Coast time.
Everybody.
10:00 East Coast time and 7 p.m. West Coast time. And we forgot to tell them one thing, Rocky.
What's that?
Who brought you?
Hey.
All right, everybody.
Brian.
I want to. Good night, everybody.
Y'all take care.
I got you beat on that one there, young blood. Hey.
Y'all have a good
evening.
Good
night, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the fact.
Okay, let me call you real quick.